Oli is here with Stefano Zaccaroli, and yeah, let's go.
Okay, let's go. Good morning, Berlin. Radio Tax today proudly presents the Debian project leader itself, Mr. Stefano Zaccaroli. Woohoo! Welcome, Stefano.
Thank you.
Stefano, before we go any further, just to satisfy my curiosity, you are the Debian project leader, but looking back at all this struggle and fights in the Debian project, wouldn't it be easier to guard a sack of fleas instead of doing this job?
Well, yeah, possibly. I see the point, but no, actually, it's even kind of fun to do that, actually.
Okay. As you are anything but the boss, not even get paid for doing this, how would you describe your position in the Debian project? Are you the head of it, or are you mayor prima inter pares, or how would you describe your position?
So you're right, this is not really a leadership position in the common sense. So the Debian project leader does various stuff. I would describe that as a kind of a guide and a problem solver. So like when you have conflicts or when you have something that do not work well together, I can try to mediate and make them work better together. So beside that, there are also a job of doing a kind of a garbage collector, let's say, of decision which nobody else is entitled to take. And that will be the job of the Debian project leader to take them.
Okay. As the Debian project is different to other distributions, has no corporate structure, e.g. questions about deadlines have been answered like it's finished when it's finished. What can you as project leader can do to let the Debian project goal-oriented in this, let me say, a little anarcho-touched environment?
So in that sense, I think that the Debian project leader also plays the role of community manager, in the sense that it do the accounting of stuff that the community itself might forget. For instance, when you have big discussions about stuff, it may happen that we have the big discussion, but then nobody take out a synthesis after that, and then are all of one responsibility of the DPL is taking care of doing a synthesis of what has been discussed. So this is a way in which it can help. Another one is taking a schedule of what we need to discuss in a given time frame, for instance, in the beginning of a release, and to start the various discussion when the time arrives so that they are effective, useful, and happen at the right time.
Okay. To make it clear to all of the listeners who don't know about the facts in the Debian project, as far as I know, you currently join by approximately 1,000 volunteer developers worldwide.
That's correct.
And these people neither report to your nor work on disciplinary subordinates. So how do you assert yourself in light of your rather short curatorship?
So so your number are fairly accurate. We are about 900 developers now, plus 100 Debian maintainers, which are a new role that can participate in the project with a lesser degree of commitment, let's say. So actually, my relations with them is just, you know, being one among the other and just coordinate stuff. I don't really have any strict relation with specific people besides the delegates. So this is a specific feature we have in Debian project, where the Debian project leader can delegate people to take care of specific area of the project. And that is the most strict relation that can exist formally, let's say, between the DPL and specific people.
Okay. Another point, Debian is the rock Ubuntu is built upon, I read on a t-shirt, but on the other hand, Debian was denounced as a little fumpy, hard to configure, anything but sexy. What are your plans to brush up Debian's image as a user-friendly, stable, safe, and desktop-ready free OS?
So, the point of Debian is that, according to a common motto we have, is that we are supposed to be the universal operating system. That, in essence, means that we are not targeted to a specific kind of user, but we are supposed to be flexible enough to adapt to a lot of different scenarios, from the user to server. So in that sense, Ubuntu has just customized Debian for a specific profile, and that specific profile is the desktop user, and they did a great job at that. The point is that all they did to make easy for user to actually use a Debian-like machine is that it's in Debian 2 in most cases. So it's really possible to have it in Debian out of the box. It just takes some sort of customization, and that can happen today in Debian. The reason why it doesn't happen yet is probably because in the community of developers, we have a lot of system administrator type of guy, which that just don't care enough about the problem to solve it. But to actually have it in Debian out of the box, to it's enough for someone which cares about that to actually join us and do the specific customization which are needed, which are really not much, actually.
Okay. You said Debian is a universal OS, and in my humble opinion, it's the distribution that supports most architectures. I don't know any other distribution would support more. Last is porting the FreeBSD kernel known as K-FreeBSD because of the support of some hardware which Linux currently does not support, and so on. So when I started working with Linux a few years ago, it was SUSE Linux that was state of the art with YAST2. And today, I must say, Ubuntu has become first choice on the desktop because of its image and its easy handling. So what I would like to know is, what are your plans for the future, making Debian GNU Linux back again sexy on the desktop?
Okay, so as you said, we are rather peculiar in the architecture we offer. As far as I know, we are the distribution with the largest number of ports, at least among Linux. And it's interesting to know that we also get feedback from people from a lot of upstream saying, okay, we want our packages in Debian because it's the place where we can test if they are really portable or not. And so that's something which are, on which we are really the first. So we don't need to get, we don't feel like being behind anyone else on that respect. For what concern the desktop, I think, as I said, that can happen rather straightforwardly if just someone goes and do that. So I think the thing we need to focus most in the future of Debian is actually explaining better our values, because I think we really are relevant and unique in them in the context of the free and open source software world today, because we are independent from companies and we care about software freedom more than others do. So I think we should just advertise that more, so that we will be able to attract more manpower and developers to join us.
Okay, so as it's not my job just to entertain you, if you have questions to him, it's now the time. Nobody has a question? He's really a nice guy. Don't have to be afraid, he doesn't bite.
Thanks for lying.
Thanks for the donation. Nobody has a question? Everybody satisfied with Debian? No glitches?
Yeah, it's one of the best operating systems.
So after my talk, I got a feedback like, one problem I have with Debian is that it just works. So I do not know what I can do to improve it.
Oh, I've got an idea for you. So I tried to connect my Nokia communicator's E90 device via Bluetooth, and I have to confess, I gave up and did it with Ubuntu. Maybe you can do something in this.
So let's take this offline.
Okay, okay. So still no questions?
It's still, for me, Debian is just the operating system I use on servers. So, as you said, maybe it's a little bit hard to get it really good running on mobile computers and so on. I mean, you have to know and, be a Linux guy to understand all the stuff.
So, counter question. When is the last time you tried to install Debian from scratch?
From scratch?
I mean, using the Debian installer.
The old one or the new one?
Well, the new one is like 3 years old, so it depends on your point of view.
I don't use.
Actually, more, I think.
I don't use the graphical installer at all. I have to confess.
No, what I meant is that if you actually try the Debian installer to install your machine, and then you just install the GNOME desktop environment meta package, you will get something which is actually really nice also for desktop. So the problem you might get when installing Debian is usually related to drivers which are not supported by free drivers. And that's okay, that's a problem, but it will be solved when everybody will be using free software, so it's really not a problem. But if you get past that, actually having a nice desktop machine is really not that harder than with other distributions. It's just a matter of installing a specific task or a specific meta package.
But still, it's Debian is a project which the release cycle is very, very long, so I didn't get the newest, coolest, hottest stuff. Okay, it's stable. It's really stable. It's on that way cool. But yeah, there is no KDE 4, so 2, and so on.
That is correct, and that is something I don't see changing soon. Because so for us, what you call stability really means quality. So it takes time to actually fix all the issue we see before releasing some software, and that is correct. So we cannot address the kind of user which really want the latest, really new stuff. But I think that Sidux address this kind of users, still giving you a Debian-based machine. So maybe that is an alternative which is close to Debian and which satisfy people which really want the new stuff.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and then there is a question from our chat. He wants to know if there are some or are any plans to integrate social things into the desktop.
So I guess you mean clients for social network stuff and the like. So also in that case, we do have most of the software which is needed. For instance, I use programs like Gwibber, which are in Debian. And so the point is, which kind of more integration do you want in the desktop? We do have all the ingredients. We do not have any specific integration, probably because we don't see the need of it. Again, it just takes someone to actually show the need and propose the change to have it if it's worth. But the basic ingredients are all there already.
Okay. And how do I get Debian maintainer to do such things, or how can I recommend a package to integrate
okay,
in Debian?
So there is the formal way and the most appropriate way. The formal way is submitting a bug report called RFP, which means request for package. But that will most likely not work because we get thousands and thousands of requests of new packages. So the best way to do that, it will be looking for a maintainer or for a team, a maintenance team of people which is interested in that kind of stuff. For instance, you can go on wikidebian.org/teams to get an overview of all the teams which are working in Debian. And each team page tells you how to get in touch with them, for instance, on IRC or a mailing list. And once you get in touch with them, if someone is interested in packaging or doing the change you have in mind, it will just happen.
Okay. And if I want to be a maintainer, it's also that simple.
So now we have a new role since 4 or 5 years, I think, which is called Debian Maintainer as opposed to Debian Developer. So Debian Maintainer is a role in the project which is easier to get. So you just need to show basic technical skills and to declare that you support our philosophy. And once you have that role, you are allowed to upload specific packages of which you are the maintainer. So you will not be allowed to upload stuff like the kernel if you don't maintain it, but you will be able to take care of a specific package and you will be completely free of doing that by yourself.
So and now I like to be a really hardcore maintainer to upload the kernel into your tree and so on. How does this happen?
So that is a different road, which is the road to get the Debian developer, which is called the new maintainer process. And you can find it on the website. And then that process is a bit lengthier because there is first a check of that you agree with our philosophy and you know our procedures. And then there will be a rather thorough check of your technical skills and what you know and what is needed to maintain to generally maintain any package in the archive. So that is a bit longer. It's called new maintainer process, and all the details on how to apply are on the web page.
So and there are elections for specific roles like your leadership?
So the only role for which we have periodic election is exactly the role of Debian project leader, which happens every year. And more generally, we can have different kind of votes, and any Debian developer, which is also an official member of Debian project, can propose to vote on specific subjects, and those specific subjects can take decision which override anyone else in the project. So from on one side, you have a periodic election of the leader every year, and on the other side, you can have any kind of vote proposed by individual developers, assuming that they will be supported by enough other developers.
Okay, so which role do I need to vote exactly?
Okay, right. So the role you need to vote is Debian developer.
Debian developer.
Which is the one which takes a bit more time to get.
Okay, and then I have voting rights.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. By the way, this guy is not the only one who has the allowance to ask questions, so you can also do if you like. Nobody wants to ask a question, so I do. Stefano, about 6.0, how about it?
How about it? Yeah. So I guess the question is when it will be released.
Exactly.
I think you can guess the answer.
I can guess the answer.
When it is ready.
That is correct. So we are going to have a release update very soon now, probably next week. And the point is that the number of bugs is decreasing quite steadily. And we have been making progress on a lot of important stuff, like the installer, the kernel, where we finally split out the non-free firmware from the kernel. So the freeze is going to be expected, originally was expected in the next month, more or less. So it's not really up to me to say when it will happen, but it's I assume it's quite close. And from them to the actual release, it will take to squash all the outstanding bugs. And if we all work together, maybe with the help of interested users, I think we can get it out in a few months after the release.
Uh-huh. As I know from radio tags, change logs and things like that are there to change them. So what finally can we expect from the new release? What's new?
So a general reshaping of all the software we provide, actually. And for me, a really exciting change is that, as you said in the beginning, we will have a new port, a couple of new ports, which are FreeBSD ports based on x86 architecture. And I'm quite excited also about the fact that we'll have non-free firmware straight out of the main installer, because people were complaining with us that we were not actually fulfilling to our principle in having non-free firmware. So that's for me is a quite exciting change too.
Okay. So if there are no questions left.
And I think there was a discussion to have fixed release cycles.
So not really. There was a proposal at the beginning of the squeeze release cycle to have time-based freezes, which is not really the same thing as time-based releases. Time-based freezes means that you freeze at a specific date, and then starting from that, you release when you're ready. So for squeeze, we decided to drop that. And we haven't yet rediscussed that for the next release cycles, but I personally think it would be interesting to have that discussion and check what developers think about it, because it's a quite interesting idea.
So, it's now my pleasure to say thank you for coming. It was a pleasure to have you here. And if you people want to give me a hand, it's now the time. Do it now.
Thank you for inviting me.
Bye.
Bye.